when you're around the house, you've got these families that have been, taken from their own home to come to an amazing hospital in Milwaukee, and they're far away from home, and the child is going through something extremely difficult. The parents are going through something extremely difficult, but the siblings have also been displaced away from their friends, away
Good
from their
point.
sports, away from all this. So, just walking around the house, I've noticed that I see the siblings enjoying the house, playing, doing puzzles, and the Ronald McDonald House has so many activities for them. It's constant, which is huge because again, it's not just the parents and the child that's ill. It's the siblings that are there as well, doing, or getting displaced.
We do find that parents tend to look for a conversation. And I was in the kitchen area, and the mother seemed to kind of be following me around a little bit. And so I asked her how she was doing, and she just started talking. And she said, "This is the first time we have a place to go with my son. I can actually take him somewhere he wants to go. We're not stuck in the car. We're not eating fast food, which is one of his issues." And she was making a meal for her family. And she said, "It just feels so much more comfortable."
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Eastern Wisconsin podcast, Sounds of Care. And these are stories from our home away from home. And I'm very, very happy to present three great volunteers of the house, very important part of the house. And the plan for today is for you three to first introduce yourselves, and then we want to hear some stories. Why don't we go around the horn here and introduce yourself and what you do as a volunteer at the house?
My name is Corey Stevens, and I am a van driver, and then I just do special projects around the house as well.
Okay, great.
Good morning. I'm Chris Dierbeck, and I work in the front office. I'm an office assistant, and I also volunteer out at the Rogers Campus Family Room.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nettie Rowey. I work as a hospitality volunteer and also a hospitality card volunteer at the hospital.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet all three of you. Thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the house. Why choose to volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House? Nettie, let's start with you.
Well, where I worked before I retired, We Energies, we had a We Cares little group where we picked organizations to do some work, and we picked Ronald McDonald. I had not known anything about Ronald McDonald, and we made a meal. And we were cleaning up, getting ready to leave, and this guest came up to us and said, "Would you happen to have an extra sandwich? I've been at the hospital all day. My baby's been in intensive care, and I've only had a banana." And of course, we had extra everything, and we fed her and we sat with her. And I realized then that, oh my goodness, it's such a simple thing that to be able to give that to someone. So when I got home, I told my husband, "When I retire, I'm going to work at Ronald McDonald." And that's how I came.
That's an incredible story. How about you, Chris?
I actually started in the pet therapy program, and I lived in Illinois, but I prefer driving up to Milwaukee to visit with the families, and immediately realized the quality of Ronald McDonald House. And that started about 8 years ago. And in the course of volunteering with my dog, I learned that there were other options, opportunities. And despite the hour and 15-minute drive, it was absolutely worth it. And so I was able to try different positions and landed on the office assistant now. And that morphed into the family room in Oconomowoc, which I really enjoyed. I was there when we first opened it, and I just find it wonderful. So I agree with Nettie. When you have free time, I recently retired, you want to find good things to do while you have your time. And Ronald McDonald House is one of my favorites.
Now you hit on pet therapy, and that's a big part of the house. And sorry, Corey, we'll get to you in 2 seconds. There's a lot of animals running around that house, right?
And they are important. They really are. I think the thing that I always feel as a pet therapy handler is we're non-medical. And it just takes the kids and the parents also, it takes their mind to a different place than the hospital. And there is a very big difference between how the children respond to animals and how the adults respond, but both groups definitely appreciate the novelty, the variation, and the ability to laugh when you've been doing nothing all day but worrying. So,
I was surprised last time I was there. There was a pony walking through the halls. I was like, what? What is going on here?
Sawdust, I think.
Sawdust, sawdust.
I had a good time with sawdust. I had never met a therapy horse before.
The kids are so happy, right?
Oh, it's incredible. It just changes your mood. You can't help but smile like you're doing right now just thinking about it.
Right, for sure. All right, Corey, last but not least.
All right, so mine's a little bit different. Many, many years ago when I met my wife, her father-in-law was very, very involved in the house. So he was on the board of directors, and it was a really big part of his life. So he was really, really dedicated to it. And I was young and working full-time and didn't have a lot of time on my hands. He ended up getting very sick and passing away of cancer. And I wanted to do something to start volunteering because my schedule had changed. I had some time during the day. But I also wanted to do something to kind of honor his legacy at the house as well. So for that reason, I went in and I met with Heather and I signed up as a volunteer. And I absolutely loved it. I mean, it was immediately huge gratification every time you left. All the staff members at the house are amazing. You just feel good about what you've done that day. You know, you can be in a bad mood and you see what other people are going through and your day all of a sudden becomes, what your issue is very minimal compared to what these families are going through. So I just find that being around the house gives me such joy, helping people, giving me a way to, give back. I just love it. It's great.
Fantastic. Now, we have a segment of the show right now before we dive into more volunteer stories and whatnot. It's Ronald McDonald House trivia, all right? And I have a hat here, and we're going to test your knowledge. And if you do get the answers wrong, you can no longer be a volunteer. I'm kidding. All right.
They don't let us off that easily.
I'm joking. All right. So we're going to pass this around. Corey, since we ended with you, why don't you start?
Okay.
Pick one and hand it to me.
Okay.
Pick one and hand it to me because the answer's on there too. I don't want you to see the answer. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right, Corey.
Yes.
Are you ready?
No.
Okay. How many nights have we served families over 40 years?
How many nights? My gosh.
247,000.
Close. 400,000.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, you're in the six-figure range.
Yeah. Well,
that's not bad. All right.
That's a lot.
Put that there.
That's,
all right,
that's
Chris.
A big number.
And then hand it over. All right. When did the first Ronald McDonald House in Asia open? Wow.
I'll guess 1999.
Where?
In Asia?
In Asia.
Yes.
Where in Asia? What city?
Close enough. I have no idea.
Okay. Hong Kong in 96.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's close.
Great.
Close. Okay.
And then?
Not terribly embarrassed by that.
Sorry, Nettie. I'm like, should have figured out a better way to do that. All right. How many Ronald McDonald House programs are there? This is tough. These are tough.
These are hard.
50?
386.
Wow.
Jeez.
What?
All right, well.
Wow, it's amazing being there all that time. And
that's crazy. Well, so we struck out. That's fine. That's fine. That's to be expected. those are tough questions.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's get back to volunteering. We all know the house is a very special place. Corey, like you were saying, you can have a bad day. You go there, you volunteer, and it just brightens up your day. Tell us some stories. Each of you have done very different things around the house. What's something that really, sticks out to you? What's a story that sticks out to you while you volunteered there? Nettie, let's start with you.
When I first started as a hospitality volunteer, it was clean. We still do. We clean rooms. We do laundry. We clean kitchens. We make sure it's comfortable for our guests. And in my head, when I first started, I wanted to do really good at that. I love to clean, so I enjoyed that. But then one day I was taking, we have a magic room downstairs where the kids get a token and they can pick out a toy and a book. And I had taken this woman and her son, gorgeous little guy, about 12 years old, down to the magic room. But I had a sense of feeling that something was wrong. She wasn't happy. And we don't intrude. We don't ask. We just are there. And we came up on the elevator, and the little boy went, we have a Lego area. And he went to the Lego area. And she looked at me and she said, I just found out he had cancer. And I didn't say much. I just listened. And then finally I looked at her and I said, you know, Children's Hospital does wonderful things. It'll be okay. And then when I left that day and I went in my car, I actually cried because I thought, it's hard. It's so hard. She was alone. Her husband was at home with the other kids. So she only had me to talk to. And I realized that part of being volunteering is, yes, we're cleaning and we're making it comfortable, but it's also that we're there. We may be the one person that's there for them to be able to share the hardships and the heart. It's your child. And as a mom and a grandma, you'd rather be you than your child. So remember thinking that that's more important than how clean it is, although we do a great job with that.
That's always such an amazing part of it, is that the parents, you know, are obviously the child's going through something traumatic, but the fact that the parents are there too to support the child, they might be balancing a job. The fact that they have other parents and other volunteers that might be the same age as them or in the same age range, right, to bounce things off of and just to talk to people. I mean, it's kind of an incredible thing. Very unique, right?
It is. It is. It's touching. And as adults and volunteers, I think you touched on it, Corey, we appreciate our own lives when we are approached by someone who is struggling, and it's their child who may be struggling. And that is the hardest thing for a parent to go through. If I can tell a story about the family room, I was there this weekend. And the family room is in Oconomowoc on the Rogers Behavioral Health Campus, recently opened not too long ago. And families who have children in the mental health facility are able to come to the family room when their child has a day pass. And previous to the room opening, families would be stuck either in their car or having to go to the restaurant or finding a place to spend time and spending several hours in a car or the mall or going to a movie is not connecting well. And with the family room this past weekend, we had a large family come in. And you're correct, Nettie, we don't intrude, we don't ask. But we do find that parents tend to look for a conversation. And I was in the kitchen area, and the mother seemed to kind of be following me around a little bit. And so I asked her how she was doing, and she just started talking. And she said, this is the first time we have a place to go with my son. I can actually take him somewhere he wants to go. We're not stuck in the car. We're not eating fast food, which is one of his issues. And she was making a meal for her family. And she said, it just feels so much more comfortable. The creativity room, the television, the music, the games, gives them more of an at-home feeling, a lot less hospital. And they appreciate it. Parents truly appreciate it. And you see patients, the children, seem to be comfortable. I like that. I like seeing it. And they're okay to turn the television to a movie they want to watch or a sports program or pick up a snack that they could not get at their facility where they're being treated. The family room is a wonderful, wonderful place. And you hear the stories of new families coming in and how much they appreciate the ability to just connect as a family and not as a patient and family. It's very nice.
And it's a testament to how the house has grown, right? I
mean, absolutely.
It's not just the campus in Wauwatosa. Rogers is
yes.
A fantastic addition.
It is. And it started out a little slow, which is understandable. No one really knew what it was. And a lot of the staff at Rogers were not familiar and didn't know to recommend their patients to come on over. It has gotten extremely busy on some days. And it's just nice, especially when you have a return person. No, we don't want them there. We're not glad to see them because we know their troubles are still happening. But it's nice to know that they remember the good feelings that they got when they came the first time and that they feel comfortable enough to come back and take advantage of every opportunity that we give them at the house or at the family room.
Great. Corey, what do you think? What's a story that's really stuck with you?
So this is a little less specific, but when you're around the house, you've got these families that have been, you know, taken from their own home to come to an amazing hospital in Milwaukee, and they're far away from home, and the child is going through something extremely difficult, and the parents are going through something extremely difficult, but the siblings have also been displaced away from their friends.
Good point.
Away from all this. So just walking around the house, I've noticed that I see the siblings enjoying the house, playing, doing puzzles, and the Ronald McDonald House has so many activities for them. It's constant, which is huge because, again, it's not just the parents and the child that's ill. It's the siblings that are there as well doing or getting displaced, you know. So I find myself interacting with the siblings a lot. Like, I love, you know, making them feel at home and like, you know, a little normal for a bit. So one of my little tricks is I collect Pez dispensers, you know, the little candy pop things.
That's awesome.
And because I do and everybody knows about it, they give me a million of these things all the time that I already have. So I put anything that I get that's extra, I put it in a bag. And then the kids, you know, I'll go up to the parents first and I'll say, oh, is it okay if so-and-so, your child has candy? Because you always have to ask first. And they'll say, yeah, sure, that's fine, or no. But the kids will start picking at the bag and trying to see which one they want. And I'll just take the bag and dump it on the table and spread them all out. And they're just like, what is this guy doing? So then, you know, they take one and I'll be like, oh, take a couple. And just to see them, I don't know, it's like you see them feel normal for a bit. You know, you feel them, or you can feel their anguish just kind of like subside for a bit. And the parents, you know, that they're so, not that they're ignoring their other child, but they're so focused on what's going on and what their other child is going through that, you know, it may not be on purpose and it may not be at all, but a lot of times those kids are just doing their best to survive. And I like giving them a little extra attention when I'm there. So again, my answer a little bit more broad, not a specific situation.
It's a good one.
I mean, the Pez dispenser thing is unique. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to get off topic for 2 seconds. What's the craziest Pez dispenser that you have in your collection?
I have a lot of crazy Pez dispensers, but yeah. I have sets from Europe back in the 70s. Okay. Really quickly. There was one dispenser that was released. It had little teeny tiny parts, almost like a Mr. Potato Head. And the parts and pieces would fall on the floor at the store. So they scrapped that whole thing and they chewed them all. They took all the plastic and they chewed them up and they made them into another dispenser. But because those were only released for a very short period of time, they're very rare and hard to find. So.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, bring it back to the house.
Yeah, back to the important stuff.
You mentioned, I mean, there's so many different things for, you know, patients, the kids that are in the hospital or whatnot are getting treated. And you have the siblings. I mean, the one thing I thought was so cool about the house, just never ending like possibilities. There's always something to do there, right? Whether it's building Legos, whether it's, you know, sitting in the art room. I mean, it's got to be so cool to see as volunteers, just the joy on everybody's face.
Yeah. Walking, as I'm working the front office at the main door, you can tell when a family has come back from a treatment. There's just something about them. You can see that the child is, or the patient is a little bit tired. The parents are definitely tired. And then the child says, hey, let's go to the playroom, or let's go out in the back and play basketball. And everything just changes. And the parents are tired, but they know all of a sudden their child gets to be a child for a little bit. Don't have to think about it. And the options, as you said, are endless for them to do. And the entire house is just warm and comforting and interesting to all ages. And you're right, the magic room is a big one. They love coming to get a token for the magic room. And you see their eyes light up when they come to the desk and say, can I go to the magic room? And then when the volunteer comes to take them, it's like Christmas every day. And it's wonderful. I agree with you that the families totally need to be taken care of. And they are at the house. I agree.
So if you were a child, what would be your favorite thing to do in the house? It's tough.
I would do the Lego. There's a whole table and all different colors in it. It's real creative. I would do that.
Legos. That's a great answer. Yeah. I'd be the same way. Yeah. Definitely Legos, hands down.
Yeah. I'd be all over that giant Life Bright.
That's what like, too. That Life Bright is totally unique.
So cool.
For those of you who haven't seen it, in the expansion, there's an incredible new like playhouse that they put in there. And on the side next to the playhouse, a giant Life Bright.
It's like the whole wall.
It's the whole, yeah, it's crazy.
And the pegs are, you know, huge.
They are. You can spend all day there.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see what somebody's created because it's different every time you look at it. Mm-hmm. And then you just itch to get in there and do it yourself. But you hate to destroy some of this great art that the kids families have done. Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
What about you, Chris?
I like the Life Bright too, but I'm kind of partial to the pet therapy program because when the dogs come walking in, it's a magnet. And I like that because it just seems like it's different. And the horse, of course, but I've made many friends over the years. Sadly, we see people a lot, the same families, and we get to know them. That's where I have learned who families are. So I like that because the conversations that you get to listen between the families who now have someone who have something in common with you, no matter how bad it is, still have a commonality, and they're finding their own tribe, which is cool. Very cool.
We have a dog called McNugget. Mm-hmm. It's the cutest thing ever. And his owner is wonderful. And one day I was cleaning around and I was by the great room, which is where he goes. And there was a little boy off to the corner. All the other kids were with McNugget, but he was off kind of all by himself, little guy of maybe six. And I was watching and honestly, McNugget knew he was sad and he just worked his way over, and the little boy looked at him, and you saw this joy in this little boy that it took that little puppy to get him to come alive a little bit. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. Very awesome. Yeah.
Pretty incredible stuff. Yeah. Pretty incredible stuff. All right. Well, let me ask you this. So I guess why do you feel the house is important? I know that's a broad question. There's a lot of people out there, you know, you hear of the Ronald McDonald House. A lot of people don't know the layers of the Ronald McDonald
Absolutely.
House like you do.
I think most of us as volunteers didn't know the extent until we got more involved in it.
So with that said, Chris, I mean, why is it important for families? Why is it important for the community to know about Ronald McDonald House?
It's important to remember that when a family has a medically challenged child, their entire world is rocked. And finances become out of control, and family time is totally dynamically changed. Emotions are hard, and the house gives families an opportunity to find some of that downtime. We give them activities and things to do that allow them to take a moment away from their constant worry and concerns. To be able to go somewhere that's not going to add additional huge finances to your already compromised financial.
And to pause you right there, sorry, Chris. It costs nothing to stay at the house. There's a small donation that requested, but
absolutely
not necessary.
Well, and not only is it just the housing, but you're given your meals. You have the opportunity for meals. You have the entertainment. You are close to the hospital. You do not have to keep driving. When your child is not feeling well, either going to or coming from a treatment, or if your child is inpatient, you're right there. It just takes some layer of difficulty and pain away, even for the smallest time. People need to understand that it is devastating when your child is diagnosed. And you see it in their eyes when they're at the house. And you also see the relief when they're given a ride and they don't have to call an Uber, or they come in and their room is spotless and welcoming and private. You don't know how much that means if you've never been in their shoes. As a volunteer, we do get to see that.
Eddie, what do you think?
I've had many people tell me, thank you so much for what you're doing. You don't know what this means to us, that we don't have to go to a hotel or find an area. And that makes you feel like, okay, it's good. I want to talk, if that's okay, about the hospital, because we have a connection, big connection with our patients. But we have it's a cart, and it's called the Happy Wheels cart. And it's housed at the hospital. And I work a couple shifts on that. And we go to different floors. And on the cart, it says Happy Wheels. It's big. And on the left-hand side of the cart, we have two layers. One is baby things. And the bottom is for the older kids. And then we have different toys and stuff that are in that cart. And we go to different floors. On Tuesday, we go to the cancer clinic, which to me, that's really hard when you have a baby that's 2 years old and has cancer. And sometimes they look at us because we have like Happy Wheels shirt on. And sometimes they're not sure if we're a nurse. And so when they say, well, don't you want to go to the Happy Wheels cart? They're not so sure because they don't know if I'm going to give them a shot or anything. And we talk about, oh, but we got some things that you might like. And you see them looking through it like they're at Target. I'm not kidding you. And it's so cute. And then other floors, some children cannot get out of their rooms. And the nurses will come and they'll say, my baby is 15 months and she needs this size. And it's the love that the nurses and doctors there show them. And hopefully, and I think we do, show them from Ronald McDonald House. And it gives us an opportunity to talk about it, what we do and everything at the house. It's just amazing. When we first started, this was before COVID, it was like you said, when you're first new, nobody's sure how to take us. And then as time went on, they embraced us. And now there's floors that we go on and they go, oh, Joy's here. And they're just, the nurses light up, the kids light up, the parents light up. And then I had a little boy who came to the cart, and I'd say he was about 13, cute little guy, and he wanted something, and they were Hispanic. So his mom didn't speak English. And I think, I know Italian a little bit, it's kind of similar. I think she was saying, I can't afford to get something for you. And so he found something, and he said, how much do I owe you? And well, it's free, it's complimentary, and it was just nice to see his face that he got something, and then his mom was happy too. So it's the cart, it makes my day. It really does. It just, I think everything we do, and I don't want to not mention the other volunteers we work with, because I have never met anyone that hasn't been wonderful and caring and loving. And we all work well together, which when you're working in the real world, you know, like a real job, that doesn't always happen. So it's refreshing. And the other thing I don't want to not say is when you work in the real world, sometimes you get a thank you, sometimes you don't. When you're at the house, you always get a thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your time. Thank you for doing this for me. And it's a little thing, but a big thing. And you drive away saying, this is where God wanted me, and I hope I'm doing the right thing for everybody. So I think we talked. It's just you get more out of it than you ever gave.
100%, yes.
Yeah.
Nettie mentioned driving away, so why don't we talk about the van?
Yeah, we can talk about the van. I did want to bring up one other thing, kind of like she was talking about the hospital. So I think we all take advantage or take for granted that we have this hospital in our backyard.
Right.
And these people don't have this hospital in their backyard. That's why they're at the Ronald McDonald House, right? So, you know, you live 3, 4, 5 hours away. Some people are, you know, in another state. And if you think of, you know, the comforts of being at home and your refrigerator and your own bathroom and all those things and staying at a hotel, you don't have access to, you know, a playroom for your kids, you know, packed with toys and a playground outside and basketball and all these things that you're taken away from. So without that ability to go to the hospital and come home every single night, these people are away from home. And a lot of times one of the spouses can't get away from work. One has to work. So now they're even apart and not supporting each other on that, important level as well. So with the volunteers and what I find too is, you know, you see a lot of moms and dads that are there and they are now amongst other people that are going through the exact same thing. And so, you know, I think it's important to have support. Like I could never, and I hopefully never have to understand what they're going through. But the person on the couch whose son is playing next to the other person's child does know what they're going through. So who better to support that person than another person going through it? And you're not going to get that at a hotel. And you're not going to get that anywhere but the house. So I think that's super important as well.
I think you mentioned the friendship, the kids playing together. And I know that many friendships that have been created within the house continue on after, whether the patients live nearby or far away. I know of several who have made really tight connections and keep in touch as they go through their medical journey. And they always have someone they know they can make friends with and contact when they're having problems. And the parents, too, which is great. A lot of our parents stay in touch with other parents. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a gift that Absolutely. Ronald McDonald House gives them, is the ability to talk to someone who you can understand the emotions of, understand the medical jargon, per se, mm-hmm. and have to lean on when things either go great or maybe not so great.
Right.
I feel like they've done a really good job as the house has expanded now. It still feels like a home.
Yeah.
You know,
Absolutely.
And there's always little nooks and crannies where you see families talking to each other. And it just feels, you still get that comfort feeling, which is great. Now, before we kind of wrap up here, I do want to hear about the van. That's such an important part about the house.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's totally fine. It's another part of the house that goes beyond the house, like the hospitality car, like you were talking about, Nettie. Rogers, different location. Tell us about the van. Why is it important? For families to have that?
Multiple reasons. So the van is used for many, many different reasons, but some of the main reasons are getting the families to and from the hospital. So taking them to treatments, taking the parents back and forth if the child's there overnight. You know, Wisconsin is a very, very strange climate, and there is a walkway to go over, but it's not enclosed. Middle of winter, it can be brutal. So the van runs on a regular schedule. And we can take and pick up families from the hospital, but we can also take families to the grocery store to just get essentials. They just have to let us know they need to go to the grocery store or other errands that they need to run.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just to and from the hospital. That's great. You run errands?
I didn't know that either.
You run errands.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. Grocery store is a big one. Really? So they can get some essentials for their room. And because otherwise, how would they get there? They'd have to pay mm-hmm. for an Uber, and a lot of times finances are very, very tight, and that's what we're there for. So, yeah, the van's great.
Nice.
I love taking people. I love being able to talk with them. And when we talk, it's not about, you know, what you might think. It's just about day to day stuff and maybe to get their mind off it. Now, if they bring up the subject, well, of course you're going to talk to them about it because they want to talk about it, but definitely wouldn't bring it up unless they wanted to talk about it. So
mostly Packer fans?
Well, sometimes.
I know, right? I mean, because people are coming from all over the place.
It's one of those taboo subjects. That
you tread lightly
you
on that
might
one.
Not want to talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Well, one last thing. Oh, sorry, Nettie, please.
I was just going to say in the house, there's a refrigerator for the guests, and there's a closet. And we also, on the third floor, we have a lunch-to-go refrigerator where there's sandwiches and there's fruit and yogurt, and they can grab something before they go to the hospital, and then they don't have to buy something. So I just wanted to mention, and there's volunteers. I'm one of them that make lunches to go. And it just... you feel good that they don't have to pay for a sandwich. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it gets expensive, mm-hmm. especially when you're there all day and you're there for 3 weeks at a time. It can add up. So
the sandwich is made for them.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about getting the supplies, making the sandwich. It's provided.
And we have, you know, like baked goods too, like cupcakes and stuff and cookies for the kids that are there. Mm-hmm. So it's a neat thing.
Magical place, for sure.
It is.
Well, just to wrap things up, I want to thank all three of you. I want to thank all the volunteers, right? Because without the volunteers, none of this would work, I think. It's just such an important part of the house. So thank you, all three of you, for being here, telling us your stories.
Yes.
Of course. All right. Well, this is the Sounds of Care podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on, I think, all major podcast networks. I'm not sure. But or make sure to comment below and give us your thoughts. Tell us your stories. Again, thank you for watching and listening, and we'll see you soon. So I'm here with Lori Bertrand, the president and CEO of the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Eastern Wisconsin. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Now, this is a volunteer episode, and you know, with that, we have a lot to talk about.
We do. We do. We can't do anything at that house without the amazing volunteers.
So tell us a little bit more about it. The four pillars, were they?
Yes, four pillars. So our theme for this year is There's No Place Like Home. So it's knowledge, courage, heart, and home. And we're really trying to, everything we do really ties to those four buckets for us. And it really helps us involve everyone who wants to be a part of the house.
So tell us a little bit about these four different buckets that you speak of.
Well, knowledge, of course, the better we understand who is in our house, we can figure out how to serve them best. So our volunteers learning who's staying with us really helps them figure out what are their needs and what do they need to advocate for us to do our jobs right. Courage, well, that just makes sense. Everyone in our house is facing something that they need courage to face. In addition, asking for help is never easy, and we understand that. So we do our best with our volunteers to have those accommodations set up so our families don't even have to ask. We just have the meals ready to go. We have the houses clean, the toys are ready, so they don't have to really say, hey, I need this, we can't find it, or I'm struggling. Heart, okay, big one, right?
Makes sense.
Our house is full of love and compassion. We lead as compassionately as we can to make sure that every family feels incredibly welcomed and as close to home as possible. And then that brings us to home, and there's no place like home. We understand that, but we can be a really close second in a time when a family really needs us.
It really is a home.
It really is.
We were saying earlier, even with the expansion, I mean, as big as the place is getting, it still feels like a home. Still comfortable. Families still feel at home, and it's just a great place to be.
It certainly does. Our families, that's one of the things we hear the most when they tour in the beginning is, wow, this feels so much, it does feel like home. You have that warm sense in a time where they're thinking they might end up in a hotel or just sleeping bedside for a really long time. So it is really nice to hear those comments, but we do a really good job with our volunteers and our team to make sure it does feel that way.
Now, this year is a pretty big year for the house. We didn't touch on it yet, but what is the occasion?
This is our 40th anniversary. For 40 years, we've been serving families in our house and helping them make our house a home.
That's fantastic. Yeah, 40 years.
40 years.
Time flies.
It sure does. And it's amazing because our families, what they needed then and now is still that access to that high quality care. But their needs within the house have shifted and changed. And we've been so fortunate to be able to do that with all the support that we have from the community.
Well, thank you for being here, Lori. Thanks for informing us on the four different pillars, four different buckets,
absolutely,
if you will.
Absolutely.
This is the Sounds of Care podcast. Produced by the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Eastern Wisconsin. Stay tuned for more podcasts, and for anything and everything Ronald McDonald House, make sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow them on social, visit the website, and you'll be on top of everything that's going on. So until next time, thanks for tuning in.